James chapter 5 and verse 16. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm going to be talking to us tonight about something that has been my everyday activity over the past 10 years of pastoring this church. And really, it has just become a way of life every day, every service, every prayer meeting, every leadership time together. Life has become, it's a constant push. 10 years of not accepting less than what God wants for us. 10 years of not just going with the flow, but constantly pushing forward. 10 years of pushing against the kingdom of darkness. Because God has more for this church and more for this city. It's a constant push. Somebody say push. Push. It's a push. And I pray that there's those that are pushing with me. It's a lot easier to push a big load when there's more than just one or two or three pushing. Come on, let's push together. Let's push together. What does it look like? How can we get all on board? And here's what I feel like the Lord's given me for tonight. What does push mean? Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Amen. Let's let the Lord talk to us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing and how you're moving. I pray that your will be done in this house, and I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, challenge us, God. I pray that you direct us forward. Lord, we don't want to stay where we've always been, but I pray that there would be a hunger. I pray there'd be a burden that we'd receive the calling that you have for us to push forward, to see your will done. Lord, to experience everything that you have for us. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. Have your way in this heart, in this house, I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Lord, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes much. Fervent prayers are effective prayers. Could it be that the prayers of many are simply not effective because they are not fervent? They're prayers that have been made with a lukewarm attitude from someone who really doesn't care that much about it. And if we don't care, should God care? If it's not something that, well, you know, we can take it or leave it. When prayer time is more than, well, just a chore, more than just a daily duty, but it's something that we're passionate about, that causes prayer to be something different altogether. Fervent prayers are effective prayers. And I am concerned that the church is in danger of losing our urgency in prayer. Fervent prayer, effective. Maybe it's just because there's too many who have never had the experience of pushing through to that place in prayer to know that it even exists. Why would we want to miss out on the most powerful tool that we have available to us, effectual, fervent prayer. Now, I'm here to help us tonight. This is not to condemn anyone, but it's to encourage us that there is a reward for our pushing. If we'll keep at it, if we'll pray earnestly, if we'll keep pushing, we are going to be effective. Now, I do try to pray every day. I hope we all do. I hope we all do. To be honest with you, there are some days when I do find myself just going through the motions of prayer. I set aside some time for prayer, and without really thinking about it, I start maybe going through the ritual of the habit, the format of prayer that I'm used to. God, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. And forgive me of any sin. Help me to forgive others. Lord, help me. Supply my needs. Help my family. Bless the church. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Talk to you tomorrow. You know? That's not effectual, fervent prayer. What about our posture in praying? There's many prayer postures. Kneeling, standing, lifting our hands, walking, laying before the Lord. There are times that I will sit and pray. There's times that I will sit and pray. Maybe while I'm meditating on the Lord or meditating on His Word. But I want to caution us, because if our only prayer time is spent sitting, the tendency can be to not really give it our full attention. We're sitting there, we're, you know, looking around, we're watching others, we're thinking about other things besides prayer. That's not effectual, fervent prayer. Thinking good spiritual thoughts, that's not praying. Singing worship songs, as wonderful as it is, but that's not praying. Sitting and watching and listening to others who are praying is not praying. There's sometimes we just have to get serious about it and say, okay, I am going to make something change in the atmosphere. I am going to push until something happens. I am going to touch the throne of God because I am desperate for an answer. I'm not content for things to be as they've always been. I'm not content to just remain the same that I've always been, but there's got to be a change. There's got to be something that moves in the spirit. There's got to be an awakening in my heart, because I am hungry for more of God, and I'm not satisfied where I am, and so I'm going to push until something happens. I'm going to find a place of prayer. I'm going to find an altar. I'm going to find a closet somewhere and get away from everybody else and get alone with the Lord, because I've got to have an answer from God. Praise the Lord. When I really mean business in prayer, which should be every time we pray, but when I really mean business in prayer, I'm kneeling down. My eyes are closed. I'm blocking out distractions. I'm focused on one thing, and that's coming before the throne of God, getting His attention. My mind is focused. My body is engaged. There are some times that I will all of a sudden feel sore muscles, and I'm like, what did I do? I didn't do a new workout this week. What happened? And I remember, oh, yeah, 2 days ago, I was laying across the altar, laying on the floor, and I was intense prayer. My body was engaged. Physically, you can feel the burden when you get to that place. If you've not been to that place, then it could be that it's not effectual, fervent prayer, but you can physically, when you're in that place, feel the burden of it, the heaviness of the spirit. It's pushing. It's effectual, fervent prayer. It's praying until something happens. James chapter 5 and verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So Elijah, he's an example of earnest prayer that was answered by God. He was a man with a nature like ours. That means he was like us, okay? He wasn't just some weird creation of God that was different. No, he was like us, and we are like him, and that means that we can do the same thing he did. His prayer was so effective that it changed the weather. It's possible. It's possible. He prayed earnestly. Some translations say he prayed fervently. He was serious about it. He didn't give up. Not easily. He kept praying until something happened. Read with me in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. There's so much in this for us. First of all, Elijah says unto Ahab, he says, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, at that time, there were no clouds. There was no storm on the horizon. But Elijah was sensitive to the things of the Spirit to realize something's shifting, something's changing. And it's time. I need to go pray because something's moving and happening in the atmosphere of the spiritual realm. There's some times that you might have a call to prayer and it's not convenient. It doesn't necessarily fit with our preformed schedule, but God is starting to move and he's looking for someone who can do some work in prayer. He's trying to find somebody who's willing to push a little while in the spirit. And is there somebody that can be sensitive to what's going on in the spiritual realm that God's looking for somebody to push a little while in prayer? I know it's not always convenient, it's not always easy, but prayer, come on, prayer sometimes is work and it's sacrifice and it's hard, but somebody's got to push. So Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel and he cast himself down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Just a few verses earlier, he was standing tall as he confronted the false prophets of Baal. But now he's bowed low to the ground and he pleads with God. And someone once said that those who stand straightest in the presence of sin bow lowest in the presence of God. He sent his servant and said, go look for any sign of rain. And there was nothing. But he didn't give up. He kept praying. He kept praying. This was stubbornly persistent prayer. Elijah just would not take no for an answer because he had confidence that it was God's will to send the rain. He was persistent. He was persistent. Amen. I preached a few weeks about the will of God and praying the will of God. And how do you know the will of God? You got to get in the Word of God. But when you find something in the Word of God, a promise of God or a command of God, you know it's the will of God. And when you go to prayer, you pray the Word of God and you don't give up. Oh, but nothing's happening. Keep on praying. I don't see a change yet. No, keep on praying. But they haven't come to church yet. You keep on praying for that backslider. You keep on believing. You be stubbornly persistent. Hallelujah. And on the 7th time, something changed. It was just a little cloud coming out of the sea like a man's hand. Don't you love Elijah's faith? It wasn't even a full cloud yet. There wasn't any lightning or thunder. It was just a little cloud coming out of the sea. But he said, that's it. That's it. Go tell Ahab he better get ready. The rain's a-coming. And in the meanwhile, the Bible says, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. It was his persistent prayer that made the difference. And that's the example that James used to tell us about effectual, fervent prayer. He said you can pray just like Elijah prayed when there was no sign of rain, but he kept on praying. He kept on praying, and all of a sudden something shifted and something changed. And now where there were no clouds, now it's black and there's lightning and there's thunder because God answered his prayer. Hallelujah. Many times, when I start out praying, I don't feel victory. Now, sometimes I do. Sometimes I just, Lord, I love you, and also, boom. And that's awesome. And that's awesome. But sometimes you got to work through flesh and attitudes and spiritual things, and it's dry. Some of the hardest times for me to pray is in prayer meetings with the church. I don't know, you would think that would be easier, but sometimes, I guess, as a pastor, you feel like you're trying to lead in prayer, and so it's hard to, you know, focus maybe. Maybe it's because there's people that aren't wanting to pray in that atmosphere, and so it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to push, but there's not a lot of people pushing. I don't know. I know that there's some services that I've been at where we went to the prayer room first. Before the service ever started, there was a sound of prayer in the prayer room. Oh, there was a sound of prayer, folks. And sometimes we're missing that. But when you push together and you say, okay, we're going to come, and I'm going to come 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes early, and I'm going to the prayer room, and then we come into a service, and there's already been people that have been pushing in prayer. Oh, the music team just sings better. The piano player plays better. The sound system works better. The pastor preaches better. Come on, folks, let's push. Let's push until something happens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ikore ona moshata bahasakaya. Some of you have a ministry of prayer, and that ministry, unfortunately, has been silent. It's been dormant. You've been distracted, and there's been other things, and I know you're busy and things are happening, but you need to get back to the ministry that God has called you to do, because you can change things in the spiritual. You can change things in our world. Your prayers can make a difference in the lives of souls that are lost and going to hell. Your prayers can make a difference in the church. Your prayers can encourage a pastor who's wore out and tired. Come on, folks. God's given you a ministry of prayer. Don't let it sit there idly by, but pick it up and say, okay, I'm going to push. I'm going to pray until something happens. I may not be able to sing. I may not be able to play an instrument, but I can pray. I can pray. I can touch the throne of God. Come on, somebody. It's time to push a little bit. It's time to push forward. It's time to push back against darkness. It's time to push and see revival. Hallelujah. Elijah was persistent in prayer. How many times do we give up way too early? We stop pushing. We don't see it through. In Luke chapter 18, verse 2, Jesus told a parable on prayer, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, the power of pushing, of praying until something happens. We pray for 5 minutes, and then we don't feel anything, and so we quit. Or maybe we pray for a need one time, and then we get bored, and we move on to something else. But there's power in stubbornly persistent prayer. Somebody needs to latch on to this tonight. Somebody needs to catch the message here in this. And you need to get like a bulldog, and you need to latch on to this and say, I'm not letting go. I'm going to pray. Something's going to change. I'm not quitting until something happens. I'm not stopping to pray until there's an answer to my prayer. I'm going to push. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What are some reasons why we don't push in prayer? I think number one is ignorance. And I don't mean that in an ugly term. I mean it, we don't know. We don't know. I can remember times that I'd be preaching and trying to see a breakthrough, and people in the church would look at me and just, it was like their face was blank. They didn't know what a breakthrough was. They didn't know about worshiping or shouting or praying through, or they just didn't understand it because they had never been to that place before. And so they didn't know that you can have victory in a service where people are falling out in the Holy Ghost and people are just receiving the Holy Ghost, nobody's praying for them, but all of a sudden the Holy Ghost falls and people were healed in the midst of the service and nobody anointed them with oil. It's just the Spirit of God started moving, and they just didn't understand that that kind of stuff can happen. And so you preach it and say, hey, let's push, and they're just, because they're ignorant of it. They've never realized that that could happen. Now, I've heard that there's different types of knowledge. There are things that we know. Then there's things that there's the things that we know that we don't know. We know it exists, but we just don't know it. Then there's other things that we don't even know we don't know. That's ignorance, okay? You just don't even know you don't know it, you know? You ever wondered, am I really the person that's, you know, doesn't have it together and I don't even know it? Well, some people, that's where they are spiritually. They don't even know. They're just ignorant of the fact that there's another dimension. They don't even realize the power that's available in prayer. They don't even know how an apostolic service can be a dynamic place where you're plugged in to the power of God. So I think that's maybe the number one reason why people don't push in prayer, because they've never even experienced what it's like to push in prayer. So I'm going to tell you what to do. You find a time of prayer where you're all alone. You don't have to worry about somebody listening to what you're saying in your prayer. You don't have to worry about whatever, but it's just you and God. You get rid of your distractions. You leave your phone in another room. Text your family or whatever. Say, I'm praying for a little while, okay? And you go in that room and you determine. You get rid of distractions, you kneel down somewhere, you close your eyes, and then you start praying and you start approaching the presence of God. And you focus yourself, and distractions will try to come, and you push them aside, and you keep pushing it aside, and keep clearing the way, and until finally, all of a sudden, it's like a portal opens up. And then spiritually, the only way I can describe it is like you squeeze into that hole and you start pushing. And I don't know really how to tell you, but that's just kind of what it is for me. It's like you squeeze into that hole and you start
pushing and you're focused in prayer and you just keep pushing and God, I've got to have an answer. And Lord, you are good. God, you're able to do this. This is not too hard for you. Lord, I pray that you let there be a miracle in that family. God, I pray that you let there be a breakthrough in our services. Lord, I want to see an apostolic move of your presence. Pour out your spirit in the city of Springfield and you start pushing. Praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden you'll start feeling a liberty in prayer and it'll be easier to pray and you'll start feeling the power of God moving. That's not the time to stop. That's not the time to stop. When you get the attention of God, you better start asking him for some stuff. Oh God, start working in my family. Start blessing my finances. Start making a way in our church, Lord. Bless my pastor, God. Help us to see revival. Amen. Whenever the Spirit of God starts moving, that's the time to really start praying. What's another reason why we don't push in prayer? I think really, and especially in the United States of America, it's complacency. We're comfortable. We're blessed. We're kind of lazy, really, because we're blessed. We have so much. On our worst days, we're so much blessed than many areas of the world. And so we're complacent. We're comfortable. When we get in the desperation zone, all of a sudden it's like, okay, God, I got to have an answer. Why not go into that desperation zone when we don't necessarily have to, but you're saying, I'm going to because I want to see a move of God? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the blessings of God. I'm thankful for the comfortable things that we have here in the United States of America. But what is it going to take for us to have the revival that it's going to take to reach the world? And I'm worried about that there's going to have to be persecution and trouble and all of that. But we don't have to wait to that. Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. What's another reason why we don't push in prayer? I think for some, they say, well, I'm shy or I'm bashful or I don't want to show emotion, but really it comes down, it's sometimes it's pride. It's pride. Well, I don't want to humble myself and pray. I don't want to cry. I don't want tears to be coming down, snot coming out my nose. And just about every time that I pray, that I've really prayed, I'm blowing my nose and I'm wiping my face and I'm sweating, and you got to humble yourself if you're really going to push in prayer. Praise the Lord. I think sometimes that many times I think the church is limited from what God wants to do because of pride. We're not willing to just get to the place that God, I'm nothing. And I need you for everything. I can't even walk without you, Lord. I can't get up in the morning without you. I've got to have your help in every part of my life. I'm desperate for your touch and your spirit to flow and move. And God, I don't want to just be who I am. I want to be who you want me to be. So change me and work in me. And you got to humble yourself to get to that place. Why don't we push in prayer? I feel like for some it's, unfortunately, it's rebellion. Hopefully nobody here, but it's just rebellion. Well, I'm not going to bow the knee in prayer. And that's a scary place to be because God will allow things to happen. He will allow things to happen to get us to the place to where finally we cry out in desperation, God, I need you. God, I need you. I've been there before. Maybe some of you have been there before where just you were resisting and well, you had your own idea how it should go, but God allowed things to happen until finally you had to say, God, I give up. I surrender. I surrender to you. Oh, I tell you, I believe there is something in this. If we can learn to push, if we can pray until something happens and learn to focus our prayers and to push, and that God is saying, I've got what you need. I've got the miracles. I've got revival and all that. But I'm looking for somebody who's going to really pray like they mean business. I'm looking for somebody to get hold of this thing and not let go at the first time you're uncomfortable and the first place that you don't see a miracle yet. But no, I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm going to keep on believing.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The Greek word that James used to say that Elijah prayed earnestly, it's prosuke. And that's the same word for earnest prayer that's found in Matthew 21:13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. It just says prayer there, but it's the same word. It's the earnest prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. It's that same earnest prayer. Acts 10:31, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. The Holy Ghost had not been poured out for the Gentiles yet, but Cornelius changed history and changed how things were going because he was praying earnestly. He was pushing in prayer. He was a Gentile, but he was saying, God, I know there's something more. I know there's something greater, and I've got to experience everything that you have for me. Is there anybody in this hour that would have the same heart as Cornelius and say, God, I'm not satisfied with everything I've seen so far, but I believe there's a greater revival. I believe there's greater miracles. I believe, Lord, you're one to pour out your spirit in a mighty way. And so I'm going to pray earnestly. I'm going to push. I'm going to push. Come on, we've got to have a breakthrough. And somebody's got to get a mindset. I'm not letting go of this until something changes. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer, earnest prayer. They were praying. They were serious about it. They were desperate for something to change. Was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They got together and said, we're not going to stop praying until something changes. We're not going to stop praying until something moves, until something happens. They were so earnest about their prayer that when Peter's knocking on the door, they didn't even realize what was going on. Come on, sometimes you got to get lost in prayer. Sometimes you got to get lost in the Spirit to where when you come out of that, you don't even know for sure where you're at because you've been in the Spirit for a while. And sometimes you preach about that and people don't even know what it's like to be lost in the Spirit. But there's a place in the Holy Ghost where you're not praying in English, but you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is interceding through you, and you're praying for people and situations you don't even know about, but the Lord is working through you, and you and the Holy Ghost are pushing together. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. There's another level here. There's another dimension here. But we got to push to get to it. We got to pray until something happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's what I want us to do. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? We have a revival conference this weekend. There's no telling all that God wants to do. There's no telling all that God wants to do. Now, do you think the devil has Facebook? Probably he probably has access somewhere. We have been promoting this. We've been passing out cards and telling people about it, putting it on Facebook. There's videos and reels. Do you think that it could be possible that the devil knows we're having encounter on October 31st? And November 1st, and November 2nd. So what do you think the devil has in mind for this weekend? Distractions? Problems? Things to get us off track? He wants to make the music team mad at one another. He wants to get the preacher aggravated. He wants to get the pastor tired. You know what I'm saying? So he can disrupt what God wants to do. Now, God's a gentleman, and he'll move, but he's not going to force us. But he's looking for somebody who will make up the difference in prayer.
That's how we stand in the gap. That's how we make the difference. And so in these services, we've got to be praying this week, folks. If you've not been praying, just start tonight, start tomorrow. And just make sure you make time to push in prayer, okay? But here's what we're going to do. It's 8 o'clock. Normally we go to about right now and have altar service to about 8:15. Here's what I'm asking to do. I want us to dim the lights. Amen. Sister McCoy, you may need to go dim the lights. And here's what I'm wanting to do. For a little while here, I'm not going to close out or anything. I'm just going to say this. But I want you to find a place of prayer. And for 10, 15 minutes, we're going to pray about this revival. We're going to pray that Brother Kerry Jones is led of the Holy Ghost. And when he steps into this pulpit Friday night, that you can just tell that he's been sent here from God. We're going to pray that these that we're inviting, that it's going to be easy for them to come to the house of the Lord. Pray against distractions. Pray against hindrances. There's some backsliders that they haven't been here for a while. They need to be here. If God, ask God to lay them on your heart and then contact and say, I hope you can you make it? What can I do to get you? Can I come pick you up? You know, whatever you got to do, let's get them here. Okay? And then we're going to pray for the music team. We're going to pray for the ushers. We're going to pray for the young people. We're going to pray for the pastor. We're going to, just everything you can think of about this weekend. Let's pray because, folks, I just feel like I'm in a place of desperation that, God, we've got to have a breakthrough. There's got to be a change. There's got to be something happening. And I know people are there's people distracted and everything going on, but we've got to get focused in this.